This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris. Today, the U.S. military announced the deaths of 5 U.S. soldiers and 1 sailor in Iraq. That brings this year's toll to at least 852, making 2007 the deadliest year for U.S. troops since the war began. That milestone, despite a recent drop in deaths since the beginning of the U.S. troop buildup. NPR's Tom Bowman traveled to Anbar province, the vast Sunni expanse west of Baghdad. Al-Qaeda in Iraq once held sway there. Now the group is smaller in numbers, more homegrown, and operating mostly in pockets in the remote desert areas north of Ramadi and Fallujah.
The man known as the Butcher doesn't look that tough now. The videotape shows him on his knees, blindfolded, disheveled. He tells an Iraqi interrogator he killed scores of Iraqis and Americans in Ramadi.
He killed many people. It's like about 100 people.
Colonel Ali talks about an interrogation video shot by his Iraqi army battalion and viewed by NPR. They found the Butcher in a remote farmhouse north of Fallujah. He also goes by the name Hamid Gazoza. He's a former Ramadi taxi driver and criminal who signed on with Al-Qaeda in Iraq.
We sent him to Camp Fallujah, and then they will send him to Iraqi jail.
Camp Fallujah is where Marine General Walt Gaskin has his headquarters. He commands U.S. troops in Anbar, an area about the size of North Carolina. Gaskin says in many ways, the Butcher is the new face of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, more local in nature. Area criminals and opportunists have in some ways replaced the foreigners, the religious zealots.
I don't doubt that there are some foreign fighters that come in, but they tend to be more of the ones who are the suicide bombers.
Several years ago, Al-Qaeda in Iraq had more experienced foreign fighters and planners, like Al-Qaeda in Iraq leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, a Jordanian by birth. He and many others had experience in Afghanistan, fighting or creating training camps. Now many have been killed or captured.
As they have been attrited, they have been able to replace the leadership, but they haven't been able to replace the skills at the local level.
Colonel Ali struggles to recall the last time any foreign Al-Qaeda members were seized.
We arrested one Egyptian leader in Fallujah. It's like about 6 or 7 months ago.
The same is true elsewhere in Iraq. It's a more homegrown Al-Qaeda, operating away from the urban areas. They are in the villages north of Baghdad, hijacking trucks or holding Iraqis for ransom. To the south of the capital, they are holed up in small farming enclaves along the Tigris River. So both Iraqi and U.S. forces are sweeping these more desolate areas, trying to stamp out Al-Qaeda in Iraq.
That's been the greatest success story, I think, at our level.
Lieutenant Colonel Woody Hesser and a small Marine team have been advising Colonel Ali's battalion for nearly a year, mostly at this dusty collection of wooden shacks and tents called Combat Outpost Golden, an hour's drive north of Fallujah. Hesser has seen the skills of these Iraqi troops increase over time.
In the span of the first 2, 3, 4 months in Fallujah, we were able to build not only a larger battalion, but increase the confidence of the battalion.
Hesser bends over a map and points to an upcoming operation with the Iraqi forces against a suspected Al-Qaeda in Iraq pocket, a triangle of desert and crossroads just to the east of Lake Tharthar.
That triangle, if you will, controls the greater Tharthar area.
But to rid the area of Al-Qaeda in Iraq will take more than bullets. It requires reconstruction and employment. Many Iraqis appear to be joining Al-Qaeda for income rather than out of religious fanaticism. General Ali Ghazi al-Hashemi commands all Iraqi army troops in this area around Fallujah.
If they create jobs for Iraqis, they could stop about half of Al-Qaeda. Iraqis would prefer to work with their country than work against their country.
General Gaskin agrees.
Our biggest thing is that we've got to do some rebuilding and reconstruction and give people jobs. And we've spent a lot of money hiring young folk to do meaningful work. And that's been the success of Ramadi, Al-Qaim, and Fallujah.
But both Iraqi and American officials worry that not enough Iraqi reconstruction money is getting out to Anbar province. They say the problem lies with endless bureaucratic delays and a stubborn sectarianism. The Iraqi government is dominated by Shiites. Nearly all of Anbar is Sunni. Gaskin appears at a ceremony in Ramadi, marking the turnover of the Iraqi 7th Army Division from American to Iraqi control. Soldiers march past a reviewing stand of American, Iraqi, and British officers. the pomp and ceremony hides another headache. Gascon and Iraqi commanders complain soldiers from this Iraqi division are being transferred to fight al-Qaeda or Shiite militias in the city of Baghdad and the rest of Diyala province to the north. The general has written to the top American commander, General David Petraeus, protesting this move by the Iraqi government.
Here comes this concept again. Well, hey, I can transfer a battalion here and transfer a battalion there. You can't stabilize Anbar and then remove portions of the division. That's the issue.
Gascon says if there is one lesson learned in Anbar over the past year, it is this: persistent presence. That means large numbers of soldiers and police over time to keep al-Qaeda away. Tom Bowman, NPR News.